Thank you all for being here. A lot of good choices that you had to choose from, but I think this is a very important topic, and I for sure don't have all of the answers. If you came hoping to get all of the answers, you're in the wrong place. I think I told this recently in a lesson that there's some young preachers that they start preaching, and they do a lot of sermons about parenting, and they tell parents everything that they need to be doing with their children and how to raise kids, and then those young preachers have their own kids, and they stop preaching about parenting because they realize they don't know as much as they thought they used to know. And so what I want us to do in this hour is just let's use the Bible to help us to become better parents. Let's use the Bible to help us to learn how we can build faith in the hearts of our children. And as we begin to introduce this, I think we need to see from a general standpoint that faith is obviously something that is essential to each and every one of our lives. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the heart of every parent, we need to know as parents, without faith, it is impossible for me as a mom or a dad to please God. But then we also need to see that applying to our children. That without faith in the heart of my son or my daughter, they can't be pleasing to God either. We've got to be able to instill faith in the heart of our kids. It's not only essential, it's valuable. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, Bible says, here's the victory that overcomes the world. We're raising our children, and they are embattled against the world. Here's Satan and his forces who are coming against our children. And how are our kids going to be victorious? What does 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 say? Here's the victory that overcomes the world, even our parents' faith. Is that what it says? You know, that'd be great. You know, if I could overcome the world by my parents' faith, how much easier is that for me? No, it's not our parents' faith. It's our faith. We want our children to be victorious in this world. If we want our children to be victorious over the attempts of the devil, we need to prepare them and instill in their hearts a deep faith. Faith in the hearts of our children is the only way to slow the apostasy rate among our kids. You know that various studies have been done around the church trying to determine in some phraseology, in some words, how many of our children are we losing? There are children, when they graduate from high school, that I guess most of them move out of the house. Some of them are still there, I think. Some of them move out of the house and then they come back. And then they're there for an even longer time. But most of the time they move out, they go to college, they get a job, and they're on their own. How many of our children, when they move out and they get on their own, how many of them remain faithful to the Lord? How many of them remain faithful to the Lord's church? And most of the studies that have been done around the brotherhood, that the minimum, the smallest number I've seen, is that most congregations are losing 50% of their kids. We did a study here, about 10 years ago. And that number for us was 47%. I've seen some studies that were 60% and some for some congregations as high as 90%. If we want to curtail that number, and we're not talking about statistics in this class, and I don't want us to look at our children as statistics, but if we don't want our children to be one of those statistics that after they graduate high school and they move on, that they're one who has now graduated from God and they've graduated from the church and they've graduated from being a Christian and they're on to bigger and better things in life, it's upon us as parents to take that faith that comes from the Word of God and to put it into their hearts, because the Bible tells us that's the only way to get to heaven. Without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot overcome the world. Without faith, we cannot make it to heaven. So this morning, I want us to talk about seven ways. Seven ways that we can take the faith from the Word of God, the faith that is so important to us in our lives, and we can give it to our own children. At this same hour, we scheduled the teenage class, the teenagers, to be studying what are the building blocks, the seven building blocks for their own faith? They're studying the same thing we're studying here. What can we do as parents? The first one looks at us. If you've ever been on an airplane, the security checks, the security speech that the flight attendants go through, that if you've flown more than two or three times, you don't pay attention to anymore. And they get kind of irritated that you're not paying attention to what they're saying because you've got it memorized as well as they have it memorized. But part of what they say when you fly on an airplane is that if the cabin loses pressure, what's going to happen? Oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. If you're traveling with someone who needs assistance, if you're traveling with a child, what are you supposed to do first with the oxygen masks? Put yours on first. Well, that sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? You know, I mean, if you're traveling with a little kid, shouldn't they get saved first? Well, let's put it on them. No, you put your oxygen mask on first so that you will have the ability to then go and put the oxygen mask on your child or on someone else who needs the help. How can we build faith in the heart of our children? It cannot and will not happen if we don't put it on first. If we do not have that faith built and solidified in our own lives, and if they don't see it, there's nothing we can do to build it. I want you to think about this and recognize that our responsibility as parents is to try to impart to them the value of the Word of God in our lives. You and I as parents need to spend time reading this book. How often do you sit and read? How often do you pick? I know our schedules are as busy as schedules have ever been. Where would we be without electronic calendars? Where would we be without electronic reminders that come up and say your niece's birthday is in 2 weeks, you might want to go buy her a present? Anybody have electronic reminders like those? Anybody got things that pop up and remind you have a dentist appointment tomorrow, you have a this tomorrow, you have this going on? Our lives are so full that there are some things that have been forced by our own schedules out of what should be in our daily life. How often do you just simply sit down, not for a deep study, not for a long and enduring comparing of passages, but how often do you just sit down to read? My grandfather, before he ever went into the kitchen in the morning to get a drink, to get breakfast, would sit down and read. Not to have a deep study, but just to start his day with a verse or two. He wouldn't go to bed at night without reading a verse or two. When he got up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, he wouldn't pillow his head again until he had flipped on the light, read a verse or two, and laid back down. How often are we simply picking it up and reading it? You see, it goes beyond, there's a step beyond reading, and we know that. But how often do we read it? How often are we spending time meditating on what we read? There's a difference between reading and meditating. If you have children, you know that. They can read their textbooks. They can read their assignments and get to the end, and here's these list of questions in their homework, and you're trying to help them with these questions. They have done the reading, but then they've gotten to the end, and what have they not done? They haven't been paying attention to what they're reading. They're not concentrating on what they're reading. Have you ever had water, a spill on the counter, and you take a towel, you take a paper towel or a kitchen towel, and you just lay it on that spill, immediately that towel absorbs that spill. And right at that, right at the point, you know, if the spill was as big as your hand and you laid a towel down on top of it, immediately the size of your hand, that towel would become damp with that water. What happens if you just leave that towel sitting there? It starts permeating the rest of the towel. If you come back later, that whole paper towel, that whole towel will now be damp. Why? Well, if you just sat it there and then picked it up, it wouldn't. But because it spent some time there and it rested there, it began to permeate and be absorbed in the rest of the towel. That's what happens with the Word of God. There are times that we just need to spend reading it. And then there are times that we just need to spend sitting and meditating, thinking about it, letting it absorb and permeate into our lives. There are times that we need to spend in a study of the Word of God. And to differentiate these things, you may think of studying as that point where I am looking at a Bible topic and I want to know what does the Bible say about this. I may not be meditating on it. I may just be saying, what does the Bible say about baptism? What does the Bible say about raising children? And I'm going to start looking for verses and studying and pulling them together and saying, okay, here's what, and I'm going to study and I'm going to handle aright these passages for my life. Now, if you and I as parents, before we ever put the oxygen mask on our child, if we'll put it on ourselves, before we ever try to concentrate on building their faith, if we'll build our own faith, if we'll make sure that we are reading, we'll make sure that we are meditating, allowing it to saturate our lives, if we'll spend time studying it, then our own faith in God will become stronger. Now, you know that what that does for your kids? What happens when your kids see you reading the Bible? Have your kids ever caught you reading the Bible? Just sitting and reading? Have your kids ever caught you sitting and maybe you've read a passage and you're sitting there and you're meditating and have your kids ever caught you at the dining table with your Bible and a concordance and a Bible dictionary and a Bible encyclopedia and an atlas and a comment? Have your kids ever caught you at the dining table with Bible books spread all over because you're trying to research and study a particular Bible topic? You know the message that sends to your kids when they see you studying? You know, we think about building faith in the hearts of our children, and there are some steps we're going to talk about in a moment that are active steps for us to take one-on-one with our children to help build their faith. But there are some lessons that they learn even better by observation. What if they saw you sitting and reading? What if they saw you with those books spread out? What message is that going to send? This is important. Have you ever had a Bible study in your home where you invited either a non-Christian in your home or you had some brethren from the church to come in and you just sat and you had a Bible study at the dining table together? What kind of impact is that going to have on your kids? It'll change their lives. It'll show them this. This is really important. Mom and Dad are really serious about this. This being a Christian thing, this church thing, it's not just a Sunday thing. This is real to them. If it's not real to us, if it's not important to us, it will never be important to them. We will never convince our children they need to read their Bible every day if we don't do it. We will never convince our children that they need to grow up and have serious Bible studies and to teach other people if they don't see us involved in that. We've got to build our faith. We've got to put on our oxygen mask first and then have the opportunity to do it for them. Second thing we need to do, and again, this goes sort of under the matter of observation for our children. But the number one way, the number two way that we can help build faith in their hearts is, let me get it up. Oh, I forgot I had these points up here. Did I have other points? Good for that. All right, let's go on to the next one. Is to live a life, to live a godly life in front of them. Now, this is not just talking about letting them see you reading and studying and meditating. But we need to let our kids see Christ living in us. Have your kids ever seen you mistreated by someone? Your children ever seen you get chewed out by somebody else? Have your children ever observed you on a daily basis where you're not at your best? Your kids ever seen you come home from work and you've had a pretty hard day? Do your kids see Christ living in you? In the way that you react to other people who mistreat you? For those of you who are married, do your children see Christ living in mom and dad in how you relate to each other and how you talk to each other? You know, children, when they grow up and they begin to date and when they get married and they have their own home, you know what kind of husband or wife they're going to be? You know the only manual that some of them have ever seen about how to be a husband or a wife or how to be a father or mother is you? Do they see Christ living in you as a husband, as a wife? When your children look at you, do they see, and you know it's hard to talk about this following the lesson we just had in the auditorium, do your children see the church, the very focal point of your home? There's about three of these points that are going to emphasize the church as a part of our life. Because if the children do not see that the church is first in your life, should we be surprised that when they graduate from high school that they stop going to worship? That when they go to college that they don't find a place to worship with the saints? When they move to a city on their own and they have a family, should it surprise us that they have never joined themselves, affiliated themselves with a congregation? If it has not been of primary importance to us. In some ways, in this regard of making sure that they see the church first in our lives, we need, as parents, to make some deliberate efforts. There's those things that are just automatic, but there's some things that we can do deliberately to make sure they know this is what is important. You're out of town. You're out of town and it's Sunday. Do you know how easy it is when you're out of town on Sunday? Boy, yeah. We're not at Palm Beach Lakes. There's no place like Palm Beach Lakes. You know, it'll be all right. God will understand. You ever been on vacation out to the mountains of Montana, Wyoming, where it's hard to find a congregation when you're in the mountains hundreds of miles from any civilization? Have you made any deliberate efforts to make sure they know that on the first day of the week, it's the Lord's Day? We are going to assemble with the saints, and if we happen to be on the Continental Divide in Glacier National Park, we're going to have our own worship as a family. We're not going to skip this day just because it might not be convenient. There are some families who may drive long hours to make sure that they are going to assemble with the saints on the Lord's Day. Make deliberate efforts so that your children see. And when we talk about the church first in our life, sometimes we focus merely on the matter of it being the worship service, but they need to see us making true efforts. Are there times where you get up on Sunday and you're just not feeling all that good? It's interesting to me that we can get up on a Sunday morning and not be feeling all that good, and boy, I better stay home today. I'm not 100%. But if we got up feeling that same way on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, we'd still go to work. If we were feeling that same way, we'd still go to the office. We'd still go to work because, well, you know, I've got stuff I've got to get done at the office today. And, you know, I only have so many sick days left and I need to use those. I'm going to go. But on a Sunday, well, you all go to church. I'll just stay home. Now, I understand. I understand that there are true illnesses that you need to stay home for. Kelly is home today because she came home last night. She has a rash all over her body, and we have no idea why. She didn't need to be here today. And those in the fourth and fifth grade class didn't need to be around her today. There are legitimate reasons. obviously. But do they see us taking deliberate efforts to show them that this is what is truly important in our life? Do we make sure that our children see in us that we are going to go and we're going to do good works for others?